go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win.
Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of The Rolling Fade, sci-fi TV podcast, where we break down the latest and maybe not so greatest from today's sci-fi television. I'm Jedi Master Steve.
And I'm Sky Marshal Chris.
Chris, how's it going?
I'm doing pretty good, you know, just finished a couple rounds of tests. You know how it is.
That sounds fun.
It was not.
So I got an interesting little story for you.
Okay.
Yesterday I decided I was going to eat pizza for dinner.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, what do I want? We have, you know, some of the local big chains, or not local big chains, you know, some of the big chains around us locally, and then we have a couple mom and pop shops a little further away.
Right.
So we order pizza, and we're like, okay, delivery is going to take an hour. So we're like, we're not going to do that. They're 2 minutes down the road. We'll just pick it up. Mm-hmm. Lo and behold, we order, girlfriend goes, picks it up, comes back. I order one thin crust pepperoni and one hand tossed.
So you ordered two pizzas for yourself? Just for
not for me, just between the two of us.
Oh, okay.
And one of them was thin crust.
Oh, okay.
So order two pizzas, one thin crust, one hand tossed. And then we open up the boxes. Both of them are thin crust.
Okay.
Which isn't a terrible problem, but, you know, I like thin crust. She likes hand toss better. And, so, you know, I know she wouldn't care. She might eat a slice of thin crust.
So what you're saying is you ordered two pizzas, one of which you liked, one of which she likes. You made her go get the pizzas. She came back. One of the pizzas that was for her, they screwed up, and it turns out to be the pizza you liked, so you ended up eating both pizzas while she only got a slice?
No.
That's Mr. what you're Assumption.
No, Mr. Assumption. And okay. I had already started drinking, so I couldn't go drive.
Oh, okay. Could have walked.
So,
could use the exercise.
It's not that close.
Oh, okay.
Anyways. Mm-hmm. So we try to call them. They don't answer the phone. So she's livid, goes back to the store with the wrong pizza, leaves the right pizza here, and then tells them, hey, this was supposed to be a hand toss. And they're like, oh, sorry, we're out of medium hand tossed dough. How?
What? Probably they
How is a pizza place on Friday night out of, and I'm not naming the chain yet because I don't want to get in trouble, but how are they out of medium hand-tossed pizza dough? And so they give us a large. So she comes back super happy, comes back with a large, and we open it up, and it doesn't look appealing. We take a bite out of it, and I swear it is. I never thought there was such thing as a bad pizza until the pizza I had last night. Like, so bad, only ate a couple slices out of that hand-tossed, and didn't even save it, threw the rest of it away.
Damn. Huh, I mean, you know, you our family's
Little
owned a pizza
Caesars
restaurant for...
is better than what they gave us.
Damn. Where'd you go?
You remember Spaceballs?
Yeah.
And Pizza the Hut?
Yeah.
So, yeah. We'll just go with that. Pizza the Hut.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean,
yeah, it was disgusting. It was like they got a frozen piece of cardboard dough pre-made and slapped some sauce, cheese, and toppings on it and passed that off as a pizza.
Jeez, that's...
I knew I should have ordered something else. We were debating on this place that's like a New York-style pizza, and I was like...
Oh, you would hate this the way I eat New York-style pizza. I'm pretty sure most people would hate the way I eat New York-style pizza. I eat New York-style pizza so weird. But not relevant. The fascinating story about you know, your shitty pizza.
Yeah, well, it's just one of those things. I mean, because I don't eat gluten all the time because I can't digest it very well.
He's when just I splurge, I like to. So he can't eat the gluten.
No, it's an allergic thing. You know this. Don't be a dumbass.
No, I'm being a jackass over the air. There's a difference.
Yeah, jackass. So when I splurge, I like to splurge into the good stuff, and that was a waste. Waste of money, waste of perfectly good gluten.
And then you get the Hershey squirts later. And that makes it pretty much.
It's like,
so yep. It's getting away from that.
So there is such thing as a bad pizza.
Yeah, I guess there is. Well, I mean, we know that. I mean, we owned a pizza. Our family owned a pizza restaurant. We've had some bad pizzas. In the past. Then again, most of them was just of our creation. The stupid shit that we tried to.
Saying like a chain that sells it to the public. I mean, where you can take a couple bites and then you got to start spitting it out because it's just gross.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, it's, you know, you say how can a pizza restaurant run out of, you know, dough on a Friday night? Well, I mean, you know why? Because incompetence, shitty managers, doesn't have enough produce. Or they didn't prep enough in preparation and they're behind. It's just.
I don't know how they do it, but they need to get their shit together. But it's the last time I order from them, so.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. 90% of all mistakes are usually incompetence.
Probably. So I guess that's enough about my pizza story.
Yeah. Well, I got an interesting story. So my dumbass, after finishing two tests, which required me to read three different books. I decided to take the day off on Friday, not do anything, and then I get high and I order six new books on Thrift Books, all Star Wars books, actually. So I'm kind of getting into the Star Wars.
So which Star Wars books? Because this is going to be a good transition. Which Star Wars books did you order?
Well, kind of how I approached it was how I wanted to get into the universe. So I started doing some research on, do I want to start with canon? Or do I want to go Legends? Now, from my research, for those who don't know, canon is basically the storyline of the movies and the
it's the Disney approved storyline. Yeah.
So because Disney purchased everything, anything that wasn't done or that Disney hasn't done is considered Legends. So like all the old video games, all the old books, all the old storylines are considered Legends, and canon is whatever they decide to bring in.
Yeah, the original six movies, Clone Wars, and whatever books, comics, and video games they put out, essentially.
Yeah, so I mean, I figured what I would do is, I'm not going to go the canon route, because I actually want to try and read a lot of these books, but there's a lot of Star Wars books out. So I'm
a lot of them.
So how I'm doing it is I'm actually going in chronological order of the Star Trek, or not Star Trek, the Star Wars universe. So I got... basically timeline wise so I'm getting all the earliest books of the earliest Jedi and the earliest Sith. I got I got Deceased, Star Wars Legends, The Old Republic, Into the Void, Star Wars Legends, Dawn of the Jedi, Revan, The Old Republic, Fatal Alliance.
Revan's a good one.
I have, let's see what else.
Revan's a really good one. I forgot I've read and listened to the audiobook for that one.
Yeah, I got the, so basically I got that, and then I got the Old Republic series, and then I have the Darth Bane series on my shopping cart. I haven't purchased it yet, but I have it ready because I still got, you know, six books to read first. And then
I haven't read the Bane series. I've listened to the audiobooks and they're really good.
I've also got the Darth Plagueis book.
Never finished it.
I heard it's really good and I'm looking forward to reading it. But so I'm kind of going that approach, and then I'm gonna start working my way into the canons. I want to kind of do back and forth between Legends and canons and kind of start getting into it, because I read so much more than I used to, and but I don't really have any pleasure reading, and I figure, you know, why, we got a sci-fi podcast, might as well read some Star Wars books. Never really been too big into Star Trek books. They're just not very good. So
yeah, some of the Star Wars ones, the Bane trilogy is good. Revan's good. Plagueis is good. I started listening to the audiobook, and then I think that was right around COVID, and then I haven't listened to an audiobook since COVID started.
Yeah, and then I'm looking at the High Republic. I'm curious about that. because I just started researching it like yesterday, and I don't know too much. I guess it's Disney's adaptation of the Old Republic.
No, it's the High Republic is it's just another canon, isn't it? It's a canon. It's just another era. It's set like 200 or 300 years before Phantom Menace.
Well, I don't know, because I was just doing some research on it, and I thought that somebody said it was it's supposed to be the canon version or the canon adaptation of the Old Republic, you know, with Disney, because I guess the Old Republic was pre-Disney, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So this would be like the canon version of it, and they're going to kind of do it similar to Old Republic, but their own kind of style on it.
No, I've heard people say that. I think it's just another time period within the universe. The only it was supposed to start a couple months ago, but the first book that kicks off this thing is a Charles Soule book, who is a comic book writer. He wrote one of the Darth Vader series, and he's written some other literatures, and I've pre-ordered that one because I'm a fan of his as an author. But I'm going to see how that book goes and then kind of judge it from there. I'm not really optimistic on the rest of that. Well, I guess it would be series of novels and comic books and short stories or whatever else.
Well, I mean, I hate to say it, Mandalorian was actually the one that got me into it, because I was outside, you know, smoking. I was on my phone, and I saw a YouTube video on the history of the Mandalorians. And I'm like, I just finished watching season 2, episode 1 of the Mandalorian. I'm like, yeah, why not? Let's check it out.
Yeah.
So I got a bit more background and history of the Mandalorian. I'm like, oh shit, that's pretty cool. Might as well keep learning more about it. And that's why I decided to start with Old Republic and older, you know, the older timeline series of the books.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Good stuff. Speaking of Mandalorian, I guess we should go ahead and get into this episode before we talk all about Star Wars.
Yeah, well,
canon, right, and books and stuff like that. So
you can do it. You can do it all night long.
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, man, let's do it.
I mean, come on, I just don't see a problem here. Let's just do it.
I'm gonna go do it.
All right. Well, what do we got in store today, brother?
Well, today on Deep Space High, we're talking about Mandalorian Chapter 10, The Passenger.
Yeah, I noticed when watching this, they kind of just kept the chapters continuing. So they're just going to keep it going for each season.
Yeah, so I guess next one's 11, and until the last one will be chapter whatever the last episode number is.
I wonder how many chapters it's going to be.
So, yeah, we'll see. I think I saw something that they're getting ready to start shooting either later this year or at the start of 2021. So season 3.
Now, did they ever figure out the situation with the actor? Because he walked out, sort of. Did they?
Yeah, there was things on that, and I don't know. Maybe more details will come out as the season ends. But I think,
what was the latest Pedro on it? Pascal, I mean, is he out as the Mandalorian?
I don't know. I've heard that they're good, and maybe, you know, they're just going to use body doubles in the armor, and he's just going to be the voice. So I think that might be the route, which is what I brought up whenever we talked about it at some point in time.
Right. I mean, what's the point having him be the Mandalorian? I mean,
if he can ever show his face, so just have him as the voice actor and then call it a day.
Right.
Get their other doubles who do the action scenes or whatnot to do that acting.
Mm-hmm.
So this episode, to give a brief summary of what happens. So this episode starts off exactly where the last one takes place, with Mandalorian still on Tatooine. He's actually speeder biking his way back to the Razor Crest. And lo and behold, surprise, surprise, he gets ambushed, fights off some bounty hunters, has to walk back into town with Baby Yoda and all his spare parts from the speeder bike since it was ruined.
Okay, Han, I got a question. So I noticed, I guess I kind of picked this up during the fight, but the jetpack, didn't he have like a cape on in that scene, or he had something like that? How does that not catch on fire with a jetpack, or how does it, you know, the flames from that jetpack not burn his feet while he's flying through the air? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
And then
it's Star Wars. It's a fantasy. Let me get through the summary real quick.
Alright. Go ahead. Get through the summary.
Okay, rest of the summary. Walks back into town. He's like, gosh, I'm shit out of luck. I can't find a Mandalorian on Tatooine, so now he has to find track down another lead. Which, lo and behold, Amy Sedaris' mechanic character is like, oh, here's an ant bug guy. He knows somebody who knows where you can find Mandalorians, coincidentally. And so they meet up. Turns out that there's Mandalorians on this, I think it's the moon of Trosk, or maybe it's the planet Trosk, something like that.
That mechanic and then, can speak a lot of languages. A lot of weird languages, too. Speaks ant, speaks frog. I mean, it's like...
Yeah, she speaks all the insectoid languages.
Yeah.
But to keep recapping, you know, the frog lady is like, yeah, there's... My husband's seen Mandalorians on this planet. So he's like, okay, great. And then, you know, now he has to transport frog lady. But then weirdly, he has to transport her sublight, which we'll get into after the summary. But, you know, because he's traveling sublight, he runs into an X-Wing patrol who then chases after him. He crashes he crashes the Razor Crest, gets into some shit on some ice planet with some spiders. And, then gets rescued and flies on his merry way.
Yeah.
There's more to it in that episode, but that's pretty much a good overview of what happened in this episode.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. I mean, that's a pretty good overview. Let's see. What else did we miss?
I mean, we'll get into some of the details here in a little bit when we're bringing up some talking points, but
yeah, I mean, you kind of missed the movie crossover of Eight-Legged Freaks meets Predator, you know, while on the ice planet.
Well, I was going to get into that in the details of it. But another thing that... So this episode, I mean, this was the definition of a, not side quest, but just a side episode, something that's not tying into the overarching story, kind of like last episode, but I feel like it was even more of a tangent from the main story in this season. So... pure, you know, how much these events are going to factor into what happens next, we'll find out. But really feels like a deviation from what I want to see in this season to what I am seeing in this season.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I thought this one was better than the last episode, if I'm being honest.
What?
I did. You know, I thought it was more...
Oh,
I know, call me crazy.
I disagree with you full.
You know, I wasn't a big fan of the frog lady, but I thought it was funny as hell. I liked it better with Baby Yoda, how they use Baby Yoda in this episode, because Baby Yoda is infatuated with the frog lady's offspring, or its eggs. So I guess let's get a little bit more into the details here. So the reason why Mandalorian was transporting the frog lady was because I guess she has eggs in a like a giant water pack. Those are her eggs, yeah. And if they do not get them to a special facility at or on a certain planet with the right environment,
well, they just will have not to survive. Get her. They have to get them to her husband so he could sperm all over them and fertilize them.
Right, but I mean,
she described them as the last eggs of her life cycle. So if she can't produce any more eggs, it's her last chance to. Reproduce and have an offspring.
Right. And if they don't, you know, the family line dies. So,
yep.
But Baby Yoda, because this is a frog, they are frog eggs, and Baby Yoda appears to be a form of, you know, amphibian, and he has a fatuation with eating frogs. He wants the eggs, and he is, like, obsessed with eating these freaking eggs. And
yeah, he really likes his calamari.
Yeah, and... Well, I mean, it gets
even
him into...
that's fish eggs.
Yeah, I know, right? And it gets him into a bit of trouble. In this episode, his infatuation with eggs. So I guess when they crash on the planet with some brilliant maneuvering from Mando's part, getting away from those X-Wings.
Yeah, he did some, like, fly drifting.
Yeah, and they even admitted that, you know, that ship shouldn't be able to move like that in the atmosphere. They expected it to break apart.
Yeah.
And they managed to lose him.
Yeah, it's like a big Lego block flying through the air.
Pretty much. But they were... What were they talking about? Because they were... When he was still flying, the pilots of the X-Wings were communicating him. He said he had a pre-Imperial and he couldn't activate his tracker.
He had a pre... Yeah, his ship is pre-Imperial surplus, so, you know, it's kind of like he was thinking he's grandfathered into where he doesn't have... need to have, like, some sort of tracking beacon. But that's when they inform him he does need to have some sort of tracking beacon. And that whole scene is interesting.
Yeah, it's kind
of an interesting exchange.
Kind of our first glimpse of the Republic, really. Or, well, I guess it's... We're starting to see more about the Republic, which is something that I wanted to see from last season, was starting to get more into the New Republic, because I guess New Republic claimed that territory that they were moving in at Sublight.
Yeah, I don't know if it's claimed or if it's just governed or patrolled by their... Because they were saying, you know, in that scene, these two pilots were saying, oh, we're patrolling for any Imperial sympathizers, and Mando's trying to just... get them off of his back as quickly and easily as possible, but that doesn't end up happening because turns out one of the pilots is Dave Filoni's character from season one.
Hmm.
Which I guess you didn't remember that.
No, I didn't.
I saw it and I got excited.
Dave Filoni's character from season one. Which
was... Well, yeah, they bring up, they were like, huh?
What was the character?
I don't know the name of the character, but in season one, the prisoner episode, where Mando, because this is, they reference this, that episode a lot in this episode, because the pilot straight up asks him, it goes, was this ship involved at the prison breakout of whatever prison transport ship?
Was your craft in the proximity of New Republic Correctional Transport Boffin 5?
You got a runner.
I'm on it.
Oh,
and that's when, okay, Mando tries to hightail it.
That's what they were asking about. Okay.
Yes.
Because I knew they were talking about something in that scene. Okay, well, we skipped around a lot, but you know.
Because leading up to that, it's just, the summary covered a good part of it, but leading up to that, it's Mando meets Frog Lady, who's convinced that there's Mandalorians on this planet, transporter. So she wants him to transport that planet in exchange for that information.
Right. And then when they get shot down, they get kind of stuck.
They didn't get shot down. Well, now, I was curious because I was watching this. They gave him so many warnings. They're like, come on, Razor Crest. We don't want to do this. We don't want to have to shoot at you. So many warnings. And that's when he tried to fly through a tight, like, caverns and kind of clip something and then kind of spun around backwards and just lost control.
Well, he never really fired back or fought back. He just tried to lose him. So, I mean...
Well, yeah, that's...
He
was just on the run.
You know, he's a good pilot, but not that good to not, you know, get some damage to his ship when flying in tight spaces and when... Forgot that it was on an ice planet and the ice gave out and they fell to the ground. They fell pretty far away. Yeah. And that's when we figured out that the fish lady can actually understand the Mandalorian. It's just the Mandalorian can understand them. Use the old robot.
it's like a Wookiee situation.
Yeah, use that old robot to I don't remember what
Zero
robot.
From
was that Zero?
Yeah, it was Zero from the same episode, the same prisoner episode, because he was the pilot.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then he was on to Mandalorian and the child, and he was going to capture the child when Mandalorian shot him in the back.
Yeah, for some reason, I thought it was the assassin droid. I couldn't tell, but it didn't look like him, and that's why I'm like, wait, who's that supposed to be?
No, the assassin droid has a cylindrical type head, while this is more bug-like.
Yeah, almost looked like the Alpha from Power Rangers. But like a more round head. Alpha? You don't remember Alpha from the
Power? From the new Power Rangers?
No, from the OG one with the smaller head. Well, I guess it does kind of look like the one from the new Power Rangers too. No, I don't remember the one from the new Power Rangers. Never mind. But yeah, the frog lady runs off, manages to find, I guess.
No, it looks nothing like Alpha.
From which one? The new one?
From the old one. The OG Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Well, not, I mean, not like as a flat head like Alpha. I mean, it had more of a round head, but kind of the eyes, the way that the eyes.
No, if anything, the bug eyes reminded me more of, I don't know, I can't think right now.
Yeah, I don't know. But
I don't know. Something, definitely not Alpha 5. Okay, anyways, proceed.
Yeah, the frog lady. We never really got a name for her, did we? We're just going to stick with the frog lady?
Yeah.
All right, well.
Yeah, and she cracked me up this. Just some of the, like, later in the episode where she goes and finds a hot spring and is, like, bathing with all her eggs. Or just relaxing with all her eggs.
Yeah, I mean, well, good for her for, you know, managing to find a warm spring to where she could, it's perfect for her. I mean, she is an amphibian or frogs, reptiles.
Yeah. I don't know, something. But I thought it was funny when they're running away from all those spiders, like eight-legged freaks. You know, she starts hopping, but the hopping doesn't seem any faster as if she would just run on her two hind legs.
I know, right?
It's just like, it's like you're not doing anything to get further away. It just kind of looks, I mean,
see, but the,
I guess your species can do that, but it looks silly.
A little bit, but I don't know. The best part for me was Baby Yoda with this episode, because he just wanted those eggs. And he just,
well, I mean,
every waking moment he kept going after and trying to steal the eggs. He kept looking over, tried to steal the eggs out of the pool while they're chilling.
To understand his fascination with these eggs. And, you know, there's something there to where why he's kind of drawn to him. Because even when she first appears, when they're in the hangar at Tatooine, he's drawn to him. And then she starts walking onto the Razor Crest and you see Baby Yoda shuffling his little behind right behind her following the eggs. So there's some sort of fascination
that he has
with those eggs.
Hell, I even...
They must be really good for him to eat a handful in this episode.
I guess. I mean, I even wrote that down too. I wrote this down in my notes. Baby Yoda looks like he's in love with those eggs. I mean, just the way, like, his fascination with it.
And even when he gets egg rejected by Mando when they're in the hot springs, he goes and finds a spider egg, cracks it open, which is funny because that spider egg peeled more like a banana than an egg, but whatever. Yeah. And then he just eats this spider embryo raw. Oh, so gross. It was so gross to see, like, all the guts hanging on his little coat or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, it's funny. Well, it was funny because... when all the spiders started breaking out of the eggs and they realized the Baby Yoda's running back, one, that was adorable. But two, the scene that popped into my head as the bigger spiders started coming out of the craze was the episode or the second Harry Potter movie where they are in the forest with all the spiders and Ron turns over to Harry's like, can we panic now? That's the scene that I just imagined in my head.
Ah. I don't remember that off the top of my head. I haven't seen Harry Potter in a really long time.
Oh, I binge watched it not long recently. So that's probably why. But I mean, that's the scene that, I mean, and it was weird because these spider-like creatures, it was almost that mix of eight-legged freaks and meets Predator, because the way that they jumped, it was very Predator-like. And the mouths even looked almost like they're going to, the toothy, they're going to dig your teeth straight through your skull, and very Predator vibe, you know?
Yeah. Well, these spiders were actually Return of the Jedi concept art that ended up going or Empire, one of the two, but it was concept art from one of those two movies. And they were supposed to live on Dagobah.
Dagobah. Huh?
Yeah. Where Yoda was.
Weird.
But they ended up going up on you. So, I think it got used in a video game, maybe Rebels, and then now here on Mandalorian.
I don't remember. I don't remember ever seeing him, so that's new for me. But
I think it was like Force Unleashed 2. I don't remember which video game, but they made a brief. Oh no, I'm thinking of Jedi Fallen Order. They have similar spider-like creatures on one of the planets.
Yeah,
Not quite the same.
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, Baby Yoda was just the best in this episode. His just infatuation with those eggs, I mean, it was adorable. And even at the very end, when they were stuck on, they were stuck in the cockpit because they couldn't repair the hull damage, So it was the only pressurized area, and Baby Yoda's sitting on the Mandalorian's lap, and he's just looking back, and he's like, are you not protecting those eggs anymore? He's like, I want the eggs. Yeah. And the frog bomb's just covering it, protecting it. And apparently had one stashed away.
Does she not know that he's over there?
I don't think so.
Does she not know?
I don't.
Because, I mean, you would think she would have a count of how many are in there, and then she would see some are missing and be like, what the hell's going on?
You would think, but I guess not. She hasn't really taken the time to stop and look. So yeah. I mean, maybe she hasn't been counting, but oh my gosh. And it was funny too. He turned, as soon as he finished, turned around, he had one stashed away and he ate it again.
Yeah.
That's great.
There's a lot. I mean, you said you liked this episode more than the last one. I find it hard to believe because I did not. I'm not saying I hated it, but I just,
well,
I want to see something with this overarching story. I mean, I know last season I was a big advocate for the kind of separate stories, but you know, there's been so much tease between the end of season one and the start of season two. It's like, I want some of those teases to pay off.
Yeah, but you know how they are when it comes to these kinds of storylines. They're going to put it off towards the end.
I know, and they got to make people wait.
Yeah, and then, you know, it's supposed to be the journey to, you know, they're trying to find the other Mandalorians. They're trying to find the Jedi. I mean, it's going to be, you know, they have to come up with some kind of storyline. They can't just go straight from, okay, you need to find the Jedi and then go straight to finding the Mandalorians and then go, you know, you can't just go straight into the main sequence of the storyline. You got to get some kind of basically these kinds of side quests, some kind of other storylines to give it to where it makes sense.
Yeah. I'm just, like I said, I'm ready after seeing Boba Fett last episode and the Darksaber at the end of season one. It's like, I'm ready for some of that. I'm ready for some cool shit.
Oh yeah, and I feel like we're going to see it, and I think we're going to see it, start seeing it next episode once they get to this planet and figure out what's going on with these, you know, these Mandalorians that they see.
Yeah, hopefully so. Here's the end of the episode when, you know, after they piss off all the spiders and have to run back to the ship, when the two New Republic X-Wing pilots kind of, they find out what's going on and they just
save the day.
They start helping them out.
Yep.
I found that whole interaction very peculiar because the one pilot, the non-Dave Filoni pilot, which, sorry, I don't know what actor that is, but he was pretty much telling Mando that he has an arrest warrant out for him for his actions of, well, kidnapping that one prisoner, Twi'lek prisoner who ended up dying because he flew away and the pilots bombarded that mercenary outpost.
Right.
So they pretty much said, there's an arrest warrant out for you, but we saw you tried to protect Lieutenant Davin who died, who was the, I can't think of his name. It's the guy who voiced Anakin Skywalker. I'm going to kick myself because I can't think of his name right now. Matt Lanter. Got it.
Right. Oh, yeah. I remember who you're talking about. The guy who was on the ship in the prison ship that he didn't want to kill.
Yeah, and the lady Twi'lek ended up throwing a knife at him and killing him.
Right.
They're like, you try to protect him, and then you apprehended those three other people who were wanted for whatever other crimes they committed. So they're like, we'll call this even for now, but if we see you back in our territory, we're gonna blow your hunk of junk out of the sky.
Right.
I was like, that's interesting. You pretty much got him dead to rights, and you're letting him go. Okay.
Well, I mean,
but I guess we wouldn't have a show if they just arrested him.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, like I said earlier, that he didn't really fight back. You know, he's clearly no friend to the Empire.
But now there's still an arrest warrant out for him. I mean, who says the next two X-Wing pilots aren't going to be as friendly?
Well, I mean, the next two probably won't, but they cut, you know, because of what he did with the lieutenant and they knew about it. They're like, okay, you let the fuck out this time. Keep an eye out the next time or be ready the next time.
Fix your transponder. We're going to annihilate you.
Yeah. Which I don't know why it wasn't fixed to begin with.
Well, that's what we were explaining earlier in this episode was it was a pre-Imperial ship and he was kind of grandfathered into where he doesn't need a transponder.
Hmm.
But the law's changed.
Then I guess he needs to get his transponder fixed.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
All right.
What else happened in this episode? Oh, this, we didn't bring it up, or I don't know why we haven't brought it up yet, but this director was, you know, I like how this show brings in big time directors to do some of these, this TV show. And we saw it with Taika Waititi in season one, along with Dallas Bryce Howard, Deborah Chow. This episode was directed by Peyton Reed. And all you fellow nerds out there. Well, no, Peyton Reed was the director of the first two Ant-Man movies. So that makes that whole ant creature that we saw at the start of this episode, I'm sure he had something to do with that.
Maybe it makes a little bit more sense now.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't hurt that Jon Favreau, another MCU director of Iron Man 1 and 2, I'm sure he was like, oh, we have this whole ant creature. Let's try to get Peyton Reed. That's probably not how the exchange went, but
no, I don't think it is. But
could have been.
Well, trying. What else? What did you? You know, what are your thoughts on this episode?
I watched it Friday, the day it came out. I watched it on my lunch break, and I was entertained the whole episode. But the, you know, the ship flies off at the end, and it's kind of, you know, best way to say it is, you know, we're still flying half a ship, Obi-Wan.
Yeah, right.
And then the credits rolled, and I was a little disappointed. I felt, I won't say cheated, but it just didn't hit my expectations. Well, I'm not saying it's a bad episode, it's just, after I really enjoyed the first episode, so I was riding the high of the first episode into this episode, and then it got off to a good start. I liked the first few minutes of it, and pretty much right after he crash lands is where I kind of started losing interest in the episode and really was just like, ugh. And I think that's just the best way I can explain it, is that ugh.
See, I guess I'm just different for this one. This one, you know, I like this one better than I liked the first one. Not that I didn't like the first one. It just, you know, the storyline was a little bit more, I don't want to say it was more centered around Baby Yoda, but he was a bit more involved and
played a kind bigger of, role. Or there was...
Right. I thought the beginning of the scene on Tatooine was funny as hell, or... Especially when that Jawa tried to hold the knife up to Baby Yoda and threaten him and try to steal.
Why is he holding it at Baby Yoda's dick instead of his throat?
I know, right? But
he's a bad bounty hunter.
I guess. Well, I'm curious why they were going after
him. I'm going to circumcise your Baby Yoda. Oh,
yeah. I'm curious why the bounty hunters were going after him to begin with. You know, was it for...
That is a note that I did leave, and I can't believe we didn't touch on it. But, you know, this group of five bounty hunters was like, grab the child. So obviously, Moff Gideon and the Empire still has a bounty on this kid because they still want him back.
Right.
And that was a great way to remind us. Because I had forgotten that there was, you know, that they were looking for him at the whole first season. Then, especially with the events of the finale where you bring up the Darksaber, and then the end of episode one where you see Boba Fett, and now we know that Mando has his armor. It's like, yeah, I forgot that the Empire is after this kid. And that's kind of why we see this ambush happen, is because these guys are still trying to collect on that bounty.
Yeah, and it almost worked too.
Almost,
but
which I don't know how valuable that jetpack could be to the.
I mean,
I'm not sure it was a Jawa, but
it kind of looked
to
like
that one bounty hunter to work. I mean, it looked like it, but it had this weird faceplate on. Usually, you can't see Jawa's faces; you just see their little eyes.
Yeah, but I thought it was funny that, you know, he gave away the jetpack, and then he just turns on the jetpack, let it fly as high as it can, and then just turns it off, let it fall. I mean, that's a brilliant way to... That was funny as hell. I mean, this whole episode was just really clever. It was... I loved how much more involved Baby Yoda was, especially to the plot. And Baby Yoda was just this was more of Baby Yoda episode than really a Mando episode, and I like those episodes, to be honest with you.
But yeah, and it was one of those, like I said, there were some Easter eggs. There wasn't as much as the last one.
There's a lot of eggs.
And yeah, but not what I meant.
Yeah.
I just don't feel like there's a lot of that I could say about it. I did like the first few minutes. It's just, to me, there's, you know, last episode we went on for an hour and 20, hour 15, 20 minutes. This episode, you know, we had a 10-minute cold open, and I don't know how much more else I could talk about it.
Yeah, I'm actually running out of stuff to talk about, too. I mean, most of this...
Because it's just like...
It really didn't do much to advance the plot of the storyline, or at least that we know of so far. And maybe it will. Maybe the X-Wings will come back. Maybe the Frog Lady will come back in the storyline, play some relevance. Maybe not. But we'll find out.
She might in the next episode a little bit, but
yeah,
we'll see.
I'd imagine, because they got to use her and the husband to find Mandalorians, so
yeah, which will be an interesting thing to see.
But I think that's all I got. You got anything else, brother?
No, not that I can tell.
Should we punch it?
Punch it, we can beat him.
Punch it,
punch it.
Punch it!
Punch it, Huxley!
Punch it, let's get the hell out of here.
Let's punch it.
All right, well, what do we got in store for next week then?
So next week's an interesting one. It's going to be Chapter 11. And I don't know the name of it because it's just Mandalorian Chapter 11. Because still, as far as I know, they haven't released chapter titles.
Okay. So I guess that's
all. I'm excited to see this one because after watching episode 10 or this, you know, The Passenger, it got me thinking, and I went back and I watched the trailer after watching this. And I think from the first trailer that we got in September, that we're in for quite a little ride next episode, because there's one shot in the trailer where, you know, you see the Mandalorian walking at like a port. And if you look closely, you can kind of see the eggs of the Frog Lady that she's been carrying in that canister. So we see from the trailer that it looks like he's going to reunite her with her husband. And then a little later in that trailer, you see Sasha Banks on the same dock or the same port or shipping facility, whatever the hell this is on this water-esque planet. And for Chris, I don't think you know, Sasha Banks is a WWE wrestler who's kind of picked up some acting gigs the last few years.
No, I did not know that. I mean, I know that a lot of WWE wrestlers have been getting really big in the movie industry. You know, Dwayne Johnson, Batista, I guess technically Ronda Rousey, but I think she was WWE after she got in the industry.
Yeah, she was MMA and then acted a little bit and then has been doing WWE.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what happens when your MMA career falls apart.
But Sasha Banks, you see her, and she's kind of the mystical looking lady who's in a dark robe, just kind of watching the Mandalorian. I don't know if you remember that part of the trailer.
Yeah, I remember.
You know, I think because of these shots that we've seen in the trailer and knowing what's happening, kind of what's going on in the Mandalorian, I think this is what we can expect to see with him being on the dock. You seeing Sasha Banks, who there's no confirmation on who she's playing. A lot of people believe she's playing another, I almost said bounty hunter, but Mandalorian by the name of Sabine Wren, who I know you haven't seen Rebels, but Sabine Wren is a really big character throughout that TV show.
Huh.
So there's a potential to see some interesting interactions in the third episode. And I am looking forward to it because this is also describing more shots from the trailer. At some point they're on like a ship being transported somewhere in this trailer. And I think, you know, I think all that's happening in this third episode. I think this trailer, well, I'm fairly confident the trailer portrays a lot of the scenes from the first three episodes. So I think we're in for an interesting one next time.
Yeah. And I guess hopefully we'll get both of our wishes and this episode will move along the storyline.
I hope, and not to cut you off, but I hope, because in the trailer, what happens is, you know, Mando's in a busy crowd and he's kind of scanning the area and then sees her, but kind of scans away and then goes back. You know, some people walk by and then she kind of just disappears.
Right.
And I'm hoping there's going to be some dialogue with this character. It's not going to be a teaser that we had at the end of episode one where we're going to see Boba Fett, but they're going to leave us on a cliffhanger for another week. I'd rage. It's like, I want to see these characters.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, there's only so many episodes in the season. They're doing, what, eight episodes? So you're already two episodes through. You don't have a lot of time to introduce and develop these characters, so you got to get them in pretty soon.
Yeah, we'll see, because, I mean, I've heard rumors that even after in the back half of the season, you know, it's not so much about Mando, that they might follow some other Mandalorian-esque characters for the most part throughout the last couple episodes until the finale. So curious to see how that goes. I noticed this episode, I'm saying this episode as an episode 10, was significantly shorter than the first one, probably by a good 10 minutes.
Huh. Was it? I didn't notice that actually.
Yes. Yeah, so the first one was roughly, I mean, including credits and previews and all that, roughly 52, 53 minutes, and this one was 42 with all the recaps and post credits and all that fun stuff.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that kind of bugged you.
But then again, I don't know what else you could have put in this episode, so it's like, I don't think I would have wanted it to be any longer, even though that was a gripe of mine from the first season.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I mean, unless you have them, I think the only development you could have done was have them arrive on the planet and have something happen when they arrived on the planet as like a cliffhanger, but I don't know what you really could have done. Maybe that scene would have been a good one to end on if you would have make it longer.
Could have been.
But then again, you'd probably be pissed about that again, having two cliffhangers for two characters back-to-back episodes.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's not much they could have done because his ship's just limping along and its next destination, at least from the trailer, seems like it has to be the planet
right
that they're trying to get to. So I don't know. We'll find out.
We'll find out.
Like I said, I still have high hopes for the season. I think hopefully the rest of the season, fingers crossed, it blows me out of the water. But I would hate to have my hopes high and then be a little disappointed like I was with this episode. So.
All right. Well, I guess
that's all I got to say about that.
All right. Well, I guess that'll do it for this episode then. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Deep Space High. Be sure to join us next time as we continue our discussion on The Mandalorian.
Hey, and don't forget to keep the conversation going with hashtag Deep Space High. Also, check out our Facebook page at Deep Space High Sci-Fi TV Reviews and our Instagram at Deep Space High Podcast. If you follow either one of those, you could stay up to date with our latest announcements.
And be sure to let us know what you think of our show by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. These reviews help us get better content and helps get you guys a better experience. I'm Sky Marshal Chris.
And I'm Jedi Master Steve. This is The Way.